Okay, you know someone really loves you when they let you borrow their sunglasses. Am I right? Especially if they're like their new sunglasses, their nice sunglasses. So this last week, we had a couple different places we went for children events. If you didn't know, I'm married to the pastor of this church, Pastor Josh Gresham, right there on the front row. And he's one of those individuals that he keeps things nice. These sunglasses stay in his Jeep, in his glove compartment. And he was like, all right, you can borrow these sunglasses. We're at a lacrosse event, sunny outside. I was like, oh, your new sunglasses? Thank you so much. What he didn't know, I drove his Jeep and I had to borrow them a second time this past week as well. So what I recognized about these specific sunglasses, they're so cool. He bought them in Italy. Do you see the blue tint? Everyone, can you see that? Are you with me this morning? So when I was wearing these glasses this past week, it's pretty unique that it changes just enough to where it feels normal. When you're looking through these glasses, because of this blue tint, you're like, oh, this is just how everything should look. You know when you put a pair of dark sunglasses on, you're like, whoa, it's like nighttime out here. Not these. It's just subtle enough to take the glare off. So I was driving back from a track meet the second time that I borrowed these sunglasses. And as I was driving, I realized, it's not really sunny anymore. I'm going to take these off. And right when I took them off, it was just this beautiful pale yellow sky outside. And I went from this little bit of a blue that I thought was normal to then this lovely yellow sky. And I was thinking about that with today's message. The title of today's message, wait, I better put these back in the case. I'm going to get in trouble. He just looked at me. Here, I'm going to hand these to you. We almost had a marriage moment. Woo! Man, I got panicky for a minute. That was getting close. Y'all are going to love the title of this message then. Finding rest when unrest is all around. What I recognized with those sunglasses is often we are looking through a lens that is just so subtle of unrest, and we think that it's our norm. We live in constant states of unrest within our family, our parenting, with our children, with how we relate to our siblings, to our parents. And then the moment you take that lens off, you put on the light of the word. It's interesting how it can be so subtle and yet change everything. And you see this complete peace from a position where you thought, oh, you know what? It's just enough. And yet God wants to bring rest in every situation. And you know, in thinking about today's message, the word rest, easily defined, is trouble. How often do we wait until a big trouble before we go to God? The other night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was a day that I had dealt with just some little bits of unrest, but it was enough to have a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call. Anyone been there? It's not always the big trouble. So as we walk through the message today, my encouragement is, whatever lens that you've been seeing through, let's allow the light of God's word. You say, it may be something so subtle that the Holy Spirit nudges or ministers in your heart. But that could be the very rest you're needing this morning. You say, all right, why God's word? Why are we talking about this? You guys, when you begin to study God's word, man, specifically with family, do you know how many siblings fought through the word of God? I thought, good gravy. Siblings had the most challenging of times getting along through God's word. Then you see father against son, son against father. As we walk through this in this family series message, this truly is a message for all family, for wherever you're at. And this is a message that I have ministered to myself over the years. And it was just a few weeks ago that the Holy Spirit had me write it all down. It's very simple. And at the end of this message, we're going to have time to put it into practice. But you really should dive in to just different families through the Word of God. I actually reached out to several pastor friends of mine, and I was like, all right, who's your most favorite dysfunctional family through God's Word? We all love the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph in the coat of many colors. And I really wanted to use him as my example today. And because the end result is such redemption, it is a challenging story, but the end is such redemption. And then I was walking through and I was like, goodness gracious, the first family. I mean, Cain and Abel, whoo, bless their mama's heart. You know, this is tough stuff. Satan is always trying to cause division in family. Why? Because God orchestrated the family. He's put y'all together. Actually, when I look out, I am so blessed by each of you representing your family here at Trailhead Church today. You say, well, why is that? Why? Because you made a choice to serve the Lord. And what's coming out of that? Who's to say you're not the one that sparks a revival through your family just from saying yes to the Lord? That God wants to use you to be a part of that rest and someone else's unrest in whatever situation they're facing. Praise God. So as I walk through thinking about all of these different totally dysfunctional families through the Word of God, what really sparked on the inside was we all need a Savior. We all need God's grace. We all need the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to live for Jesus and, let's just be quite frank, to get along, to serve together, to love each other and really just move forward from whatever battle we've been facing. So today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 61. This is going to be our main text for the day. And this is David speaking here in Psalm 61. And when I studied this out, I in commentaries, this wasn't, they didn't give a specific time of what he's talking about. In these first four verses, they didn't just say, oh, okay, he was actually speaking of this situation or this challenge or this bit of trouble. It essentially is him having a conversation with God. And this set of scripture is something, really a set of scripture that has ministered so much to my heart. And I was looking up scriptures in my phone last night that I put in my notes. I don't know about you guys. I like to, whenever a scripture means something to me or I'm meditating on it, I really want to place it down in my heart. I will use my notes section on my phone, and I'm putting notes in all the time about the Word of God. And so yesterday I thought, I'm going to look up and see when I started putting this scripture into my notes. In 2015 was the first record that I found in this note. And then I find it over and over and over again. You say, well, why is that? Let's read it and you'll see. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. I specifically remember a season in my life when I said, God, I am so overwhelmed with what is going on in my family right now. I need a word. The Holy Spirit said, I have a word. And he led me to Psalm 61. And then he's painted the picture of what this looks like in my heart over these years. And what I love so much about God's word, it whatever type of unrest you've been facing within your family, and it could be with a sibling or with a parent or with an auntie or an uncle, with your own child, whatever it may be that you've been up against, the Holy Spirit will bring a word in season to you that if you choose to receive it, will transform your thoughts, will encourage you in those moments when you need encouraged so desperately. And I have this, and I even highlighted it last night, from 2016, and it was like three scriptures to help with my mental health, and this was one of them. You say, well, what did it look like then? I had a 10-year-old. I had a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. I needed some help with my mental health at that time. And just growing as a mom. There's a lot going on. I can't pinpoint what it was. But I knew I needed a word. So David, he's ministering this out to the Lord. King David, you guys know David who defeated Goliath. David, we hear all of these beautiful, power-packed stories of his life and of redemption. And, you know, he made some really tough choices, some horrible choices. And yet we always see him going back to God. And so the Lord was like, how about you use David as an example this morning? And I was like, all right, God, where do we want to go with this? And what this looks like. And where the Lord took me was a section in 2 Samuel. And it was chapters 13 through 15. I am not going to read chapters 13 through 15 this morning. Verse 13 through 18. No, I'm really not going to read chapters 13 through 18 this morning for you guys. Unless you want me to. Anyone? Nope. Okay, no hands are raised. We won't do it today. You all can read that this week. But I'm going to tell you, it was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. You say, why? You see David with two of his sons, and one son being named Absalom, the other one Amnon. And Amnon committed a grievous sin against his sister. Absalom, in retribution, murdered his brother. David is heartbroken at what's going on. But Absalom's his favorite, essentially. And it talks about Absalom being this really good-looking guy. Essentially, he had charisma. And David does not judge accordingly what he should have judged during this time. And out of that, we see Absalom actually coming in and sowing discord to the kingdom to turn everyone against his dad. I mean, you guys, when I walked through this, I was like, God, what is going on? You see sin, conflict, rebellion, resentment, rejection. You see favoritism and wrong judgment, a spiritual weakness. And I thought, Lord, we really need you in every aspect of our family. No wonder in Psalm 61, David's like, God, from the end of the earth, I will cry out to you. Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Because he recognized that he needed divine intervention in every aspect of his life, especially when he missed it, right? So I've got three specifics today that we're going to talk about and finding rest when unrest is all around. And the first one is the beginning part of this scripture, and it's prayer. I love that David immediately is crying out to the Lord in this situation. And you say, oh, yeah, I'm talking to God all the time. Sure, I totally know what you're talking about here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It's what we were singing about during worship this morning. Why do we come boldly to the throne room of grace? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, whenever I'm thinking about unrest in my own life, you guys, prayer was God's idea. We need divine intervention in every single aspect of our lives when it comes to dealing with family, when it comes to dealing with just human interaction and relationship. And how often do we step in and try to do things on our own first, and then you'll find out real quickly that you done messed things up. Or you said something that you should not have said, or you've stepped in and tried to fix it on your own. Yet when we go to the throne room of grace, what did he say that we obtain? Mercy. His mercy is new every morning. Why? Because we need it. What is mercy? Undeserved forgiveness. When I think of unrest in a family dynamic, I often think of unforgiveness. How so quickly it can creep in. And listen, many of us have gone through some extremely harmful, hurtful, traumatic situations. But if we allow unforgiveness to fester on the inside of us, we will never find that place of rest. Why? Because you will always be looking through a lens that doesn't belong to you. When the Lord wants to shine his light on every aspect of your life. And what's so beautiful about prayer is that when I go to God and begin to pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to open up my heart. You see, David knew God in every aspect of my life, whether I've done great, whether I've messed up, whatever this may look like, I know that I need to talk to you. I know that you're going to have an answer. So when I go to the Lord in prayer and I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth, you know what I recognize? God will give me a strategic plan to work on me so that I can best love you as a family member in a greater measure. You might open up in prayer, praying for them or praying for the situation. Maybe you've been in a place where you've been in turmoil with a child, or honestly, I feel like for me, unrest has come with my children when fear has tried to creep in, or anxiety, when it seems like chaos is reigning in the household, or when our life is when we're just out of whack, you know. You ever been there where just things seem crazy and your schedule is overwhelming? And then you'll take the time to go to your Heavenly Father. And so lovingly, the Holy Spirit will be like, hey, you know what? You need to cut this out. Actually, I want you to go ahead and step in here. You know what? You've been carrying around this weight, and it's become a burden on your life. The Holy Spirit will start to minister to you about areas in your life that you need to surrender to God. When we go to the Lord in prayer, God is giving us this beautiful plan that only he can do. It truly is divine intervention that's going to lead to forgiveness, going to bring you hope, encouragement. I can't tell you how many times in our home I thought, God, something is off here. And I have gone in my backyard and begin to pray in the Spirit. And it's so cool about the Holy Ghost. He'll start to lead and guide and open things up that only he can do. And it comes through that intentional point of contact of, I have got to have throne room time. We need to be so desperate for our family to know Jesus that prayer is the first of everything that we do. So desperate to not live in a place of unrest that before we do anything at all, we say, Heavenly Father, I need your help. I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm struggling. This has been a tough day. The other night at 3:30, I said, God, I need your help. And often for me, it's casting those cares, or I start to pray for Joshua. I realize, this is really cool about prayer too. You know when you're really close to a situation, and it's so, like it's right in front of you, you can't see the big picture all the time? So let's say that you've been in a bit of stress or turmoil with a family member, and it's like right here. And all you're praying, your prayer looks like this, right? This little peephole. God will send other people that have been praying for you to encourage you and give you a word in season if you're willing to receive it. It was a few years ago, I'd recognized I was praying a lot for our oldest two sons. We have four teenagers right now. I'll let all y'all pray for Pastor Josh and I at the end of the service. And I was really close to this situation, and the Holy Spirit had been ministering to my heart about praying more for one of our sons, our third son. And Miss Darlene Brown, I think she's in here. I saw her here. Wave your hand, Darlene. I see in the back. The Holy Spirit had led her to pray for that son, and she wrote down this prayer. And I know Darlene, she's praying all the time, and I trust her, right? You don't trust every voice, right? I know her fruit. And she wrote out this picture, and I needed it because I had this peephole view. And she wrote that out and gave it to me, and it blessed me so much that then it opened up this wide path to be able to see, oh, God, you want to do something greater. I'm so thankful that we're able to go to the Lord and take everything to him, and that he hears, that he's got great compassion, that he cares. And then I begin to ask myself, okay, God, I'm talking to you in prayer. But did you know that God talks back when you pray? And that there is a process he's going to give you? Pastor Josh ministered this scripture this entire last year, this set of scripture, Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus speaking said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord ministered that scripture to me over and over last year. He would continually bring it up to my heart, and I said, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me here? And this is exactly what he said, and I've written it in my journal multiple, multiple times. Anna, if your process is not taking you to me, then it's the wrong process. If your process is not taking you to Jesus, it is the wrong process. There is a process to rest. I'm an avid book reader. I'm going to tell on myself right now. I'm not going to tell on you. I'll tell on me. I love to read. It is my downtime. It's my mental break time. I'm currently reading this middle school book for 12-year-olds, okay? I like fiction novels. I read other books too, and I love reading the Word of God, but this is like a movie in my mind. But when unrest is around, one of the first things that my flesh wants to do is to forsake the process, not think about anything, numb itself out, and bury myself in a book. It's interesting how our flesh is constantly at battle with our spirit to what? To get you out of the process of finding that rest in the Lord. And we have to awaken and become aware and then begin to self-regulate, allow Holy Spirit fruit to come in action in our lives. Why? Because Jesus said, come to me. So let's talk about this process. Is your process with your family one of comparison? Oh, well, my brother, he never calls my parents. I always call them. I said that one time. I like talking on the phone. Of course I always call them. Why am I making this a comparison? I have a wonderful relationship with my brother. We work on it. We develop it. Why? Because I know how Satan tries to pull apart siblings. But if I called him before and said, hey, you need to call mom. I think she needs a call from you this week. He's like, on it. That's a healthy way to communicate, not from a place of I'm better than you. I've recognized my own mom has shown me this beautiful, honor is a process. This is a process of going to the Lord. When you honor your parents, my grandmother, from an early age, we all knew she was an alcoholic. Why? Because I couldn't ride in the car with her. She was unsafe. So my mom, very early in my life, had to paint a picture of my beautiful grandma Pat just had a lot of struggles in her life. And I can look at how my mom, she did not enable her, but she covered her in prayer and care, and she honored her all the way through to the end of her life. That was a process. You know, in Ephesians, it says, if you honor your mother and father, it will be well with you. Maybe that point of honor for you, maybe you're having unrest in your family because you need to forgive a parent. Maybe you're having unrest in your family because you're not honoring a sibling or having open and honest communication, and you're harboring a resentment on the inside. And I thought, what else tries to come up against this process? Rejection. Woo! I've been rejected by a family member before. And in that rejection, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough for them. I want us to read the first part of the scripture again. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus never rejects those who come to him. If you have faced rejection in your family, your process today is you need to kneel at the feet of Jesus and lay that before. And just as we sang this morning, I am who he says I am. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to come in and say? He's going to say, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're loved, you're set free, you're secure, you're made whole, you've been saved. You are loved in his beloved, the Holy Spirit. When you come to him, if you have faced that rejection, because when I battled that, I'd go to Josh and I'm like, what do I need to do? How can I get this individual to like me? And he was like, you can't. But you can release this to the Lord and allow the Lord to help you to love them. And then as the Holy Spirit ministers to you, do what you can do. Not based upon their actions, but based upon how you honor the Lord in your actions. Maybe unrest is all around right now because your process has had a worldly perspective of what they've been doing to you, not how you have been coming to King Jesus, receiving what's easy and light. This is a game changer. Game changer in how we can operate in our family and what this looks like. Competition? Did I say competition? Did I say comparison? Anyone else battle that within family? Yeah. Derek, thank you for that hand. I appreciate it. Jesus invites people to come to him and to live as his people to find rest. And then he also offers rest for your soul. In that first part of that scripture in Psalm 61, the word heart. Often we read the word heart or the word mind, and I like to know what words really mean. That word heart is your inner self, how you really see yourself, what you're receiving on the inside. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, and you will know the truth. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. Your process of going to the Lord is going to take you to a place of truth of regarding who you are in Christ Jesus, that you have been redeemed and made new and forgiven. And that as you're walking through this, all right, yeah, so you've messed up. So things have been hard. So things have been challenging. When you got saved, the precious blood of Jesus washed you whiter than snow, and you are now free from the penalty of sin and death. We now have a choice and an opportunity to follow the Lord and to come to him. An open invitation with every aspect of our life and how we work and deal with people. And I thought, okay, God, what does spiritual rest look like? It looks like that you're free from guilt. Right? It says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Do you know the truth of your salvation in Christ Jesus? Because if you do, you will know that you are free from guilt. You are free from worry and sin. That you have restoration for your soul. That you are able to draw closer to God every day. That you can find peace in your relationship with God. You don't have to live in a constant state of torment. That you have peace in God and that you can have that perfect peace that only God gives. Which takes us to our third strategy at finding rest when unrest is all around. First is prayer. Second is process. Third is peace. It's pretty simple this morning, right? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be like a brain surgeon to understand what the word is speaking to us? God just lays it right out. In Isaiah 26:3, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you, both in inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation." It's very wordy in the Amplified. I fully understand that. But there are a few key words, and I went back and forth with the Lord on this. I was like, God, Isaiah 26:3 is what everyone's used to in their King James or New King James. Why did I bring it out in the Amplified? Okay, so he says, perfect and constant peace, the one whose mind is focused both in, let's look at the words inclination and character. Inclination is a person's natural tendencies or dispositions related to morality and spirituality. And I thought, all right, God, what are you talking about here? When you got saved, you have the mind of Christ. But that means you're going to have to renew your mind to God's word every single day. So he says that whenever you put your mind on him, what your inclination, the very who you are, your character, your disposition. If you've become a new creation in Christ Jesus and old things are passed away and all things have become new, then we've got to wake up to recognize, I don't want to think the worst in you. I don't want to come in and think about your downfall or your demise, right? That means I'm able to pray. I'm able to come to the Lord. I'm able to honor even when you have done me wrong. Even when all hell is breaking loose, even whenever it looks like I'm at the very end of my rope, right from the ends of the earth, David was at the end of himself. Wherever you're at right now, when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you recognize it's not you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You start to wake up and realize, Lord, I couldn't do this on my own. But in you, I move and breathe and have my very being. This is how I'm able to have that place of peace. At the end of the day, I don't always feel like the best mom. But did you know that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me so much that if I listen and I come to Him, He's going to wrap those arms around me. And he's going to remind me who I am in Christ Jesus. And he's going to lift me up. And he's going to give me a word in season and tell me, hey, this is what you did great today. And you know what? I'm going to help you with this tomorrow. Why don't you release this to me? Perfect peace. Why? Because I put my mind on him. Then if we continue reading, I was like, all right, God, what does this look like? I love to cross-reference scriptures. When you cross-reference that set of scripture out of Isaiah, it'll take you to a scripture we're very familiar with. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And what takes place? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Hold on. You're telling me when I put my mind on the Lord, you're telling me when I take everything to Him, when I wake up and recognize that I truly have been forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, that I am made new, that all of this unrest I can take to God and He will give me a peace that passes all understanding, that will actually guard my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus. And then what comes out of that is a character that's godly and produced from a place of righteousness. Woo! Then we become a follower of Christ, don't we? We begin to follow and do what he says. Unrest is always going to be around. Many of you have had physical ailments, challenges. You felt weak in your bones and weary. You have a great physician, and his name is Jesus. When you put your mind on him and his healing word, he'll bring you a supernatural peace that'll guard your heart and mind in him. If we go on to read this scripture, I love that he doesn't stop. He says, finally, brethren, in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, maybe your process today is praise. I can't tell you how many times unrest has been all around me, and the Lord said, hey, you need to praise me in this battle. Does your flesh feel like praising God during that time? Does your body? Not all the time, no. Sometimes you're tuned in, but many a times you want to complain. You want to vent. And I'm so thankful when the Holy Spirit's like, nope. We're going to praise. And out of that process, what takes place? The Lord takes me to where my mind is on Jesus, and I begin to rest in his peace. It says, whatever things of a good report. Are you thinking a good report about your kids today? Are you constantly thinking about all the things they've been doing wrong? Woo! We've got a principal in the house today. Do you have to think a good report about all those kids on a regular basis? If you thought about all the bad reports, it'd be a tough day, wouldn't it? It sure would. Are you thinking a good report in your marriage? Are you thinking a good report? You know what I love about my mom? If you ask her about her mom, she will tell you the good things that she clings to, that her mom did for her. And she chose to release the Lord and the other things that were really traumatic and horrible to allow the Lord to heal that on the inside of her. And it has been a process of her continually going to the Lord and him doing a work inside of her heart. But I'm thankful that she's been an example for me in that. It says to meditate on these things and the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. You guys, we have to do something here. We have a disposition of peace in Christ Jesus. You have, maybe you say, well, my natural disposition is to worry, to fret, to get angry, to yell. You have a disposition of peace in Christ Jesus. That's the real you. Who you are in Christ is the real you. You say, well, what does that look like? It looks like the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do I need to sing that song this morning? I do. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. A few of you chimed in. Thank you. That's my disposition. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I no longer operate in the way this world operates. You see, what did David know? Did he know that? Yes, he did. I love that we can read his last words. And then this is what we're going to do after this. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. King David's last words. These words really encouraged me. And then I've asked the worship team to come back up here, and you say, why? This is what I saw in my heart. If you could put that last slide up with the circle and the arrow. With prayer, with process, with peace, it's continual. Finding rest in times of unrest means I am continually going to the Lord in prayer. I am continually receiving a process from King Jesus that's easy and light, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then from that, his peace continually flows in my life. This never stops. For me, It may be that I'm at home and I've laid my hands on my kids' pillows and I've praised all around that house right in the middle of a storm. It could be here on a Sunday morning, you're going to find me kneeling. You know, we have these, Josh, can you give me one of those little kneeling pads? We've tried to make it a welcoming place. We don't have an actual kneeling altar here. We have these little prayer pads. Why? Because we want you to feel comfortable that as the Holy Spirit leads, do you just need to surrender before the Lord this morning some things with your family? Come up front here, grab one of these kneeling pads, sit on it or kneel on it and talk to the Lord. I grew up in a church where you kneel in your seat. You don't care about anybody around you. Just kneel down at your seat and cry out to God.